Let's stand, let's worship our King and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is worthy, he's amazing, and he's oh so good. Let's worship, let's worship. Come all.
And I
the shadow of your wings. In the shadow of your wings. In the shelter of your presence. In the shelter of your glory. Oh, we are safe. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah to the King of Kings. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Yeah.
triumph over the enemy. And I will lift my high voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, you are my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, you are my song, 'cause you are good, good.
Never gonna let me down. never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. Never. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
Thank you.
we come to worship and adore you, God. Oh God, you are seated on your throne. Elders all bow down. Angels cry, holy. Oh God, we have come to worship you. In spirit and in truth, we've come to cry, holy.
Holy, yeah.
Holy.
You are holy.
You're holy.
You are holy.
Yeah. Oh God, you are seated on your throne. Elders all bow down. The angels cry, holy. Oh God, we have come to worship you. In spirit and in truth, we've come to cry, holy. May the wonders of your name be known in every nation, tribe, and tongue. Let earth and heaven come to worship you. Praise to you alone. Exalt the risen Lamb of God. And there is no one quite like you, clothed in majesty and might. You fill the heavens with your light. And we come casting down our crowns, for your splendor's all around. To cry, holy. May the wonders of your name be known in every nation, tribe, and tongue. Let earth and heaven come to worship you. You're the one who sits upon the throne. We bring our praise to you alone. Exalt the risen Lamb of God. There is no one. No one quite like you, clothed in majesty and might. You fill the heavens with your light. And we come casting down our crowns, for your splendor's all around. We've come to cry, holy. May the wonders of your name be known in every nation, tribe, and tongue. Let earth and heaven worship you. You're the one who sits upon the throne. We bring our praise to you alone. Exalt the risen Lamb of God. May the wonders of your name be known in every nation, tribe, and tongue. Let earth and heaven come to worship you. You're the one who sits upon the throne. Praise to you alone. Exalt the risen Lamb of God. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, earth and heaven worship you. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, earth and heaven worship you. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, earth and heaven worship you. Holy, holy, Lord.
worship you. There is no other God. You're the only one found worthy. So we bring our praise to you alone. To you. Your name, we lift up your name, oh God. We exalt your name, we lift up your name, 'cause you are high and lifted up.
Lord, we give you praise. You're worthy, Lord. worthy of all praise, all honor, all glory, all dominion. You're amazing. You are our God of the breakthrough. You are our God who intervenes. You are our God who saves. You are our God who sits on the mighty throne. You're on your throne, oh God, and nothing escapes your vision. So we thank you, Father, that we are safe and secure in you. We are found in you. We are blessed in you. You have given us this great nation. We live in the United States of America because of you. Lord, we lift our voices in gratitude and thanksgiving right now. We lift our voices and praise our risen King. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, that you are the one who sets the course of history. You are the one who knows what the beginning and the end look like. You know, Father, what's going to happen. And our eyes are fixed on you. Our hearts are fixed on you. Lord, we just give you all honor today and thanksgiving. For Father, had things gone differently yesterday, we would be singing perhaps a different tune. So we thank you, Father, that you have seen what needs to take place and you have acted. You have moved. You are the great Lion of Judah. You are the one who roared in this season. You are the one who fights our battles. You are the one, oh God, the captain of the angel armies, the captain of the hosts. Thank you for your power, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, God. We bless your name. Can we just cry out right now? Be on your feet if you would. Let's give honor and glory to the one who deserves it. Honor and glory, Lord. We enter your courtroom and your throne room with thanksgiving and praise. Lord, we give you honor. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We thank you, Lord. We exalt you, God. We exalt you, God. We thank you, God.
We exalt you.
Father, we just thank you that you are not idle. You are active and moving. And Lord, our eyes are fixed on you. You are the author of the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. So, Father, we just are so grateful. We surrender ourselves to you. We surrender our hearts and our lives to you, oh God. We decree and declare that the shift has taken place in this very country that has affected the world will affect us individually and corporately here as well. Thank you, Father, that you have created your joyful, peaceful, grateful, and righteous ones. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Stay standing, please, if you would. Very grateful to be here. Thankful to be here. This is a very historical time. This is not something small. Our eyes are glued to you, King Jesus. And we thank you that you are our master. You are our savior. You are our Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are releasing to us the spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge and power and might and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It's incredible that we have the privilege of the Lord himself by his spirit living inside of us who know him. Huge miracle. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we have much to be thankful for, much to be grateful for. When the word says there is no fear in love, and your perfect love casts out fear, from 1 John 4:18 and 19, the Lord is very clear. He's very sure that for us to come into his courtroom, to understand and connect in his holiness, with his holiness, is an attribute of him. This all-encompassing, the fear of the Lord is all-encompassing. His holiness moves through that, impacted and cultivated from his love. But make no mistake, it's by the spirit of the fear of the Lord, his holy ways, his righteous ways. That is who he is. And he's saying, in this season, you will discover me more and more and more. And I will be found by you. When you search for me with all your heart, the Bible says, when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you. And he's the very one who pulls us on that journey. He's the very one who draws us to himself. He's the very one who gives us the conviction of sin, the faith to be able to come into his family. That will bring us into a place of holy fear, holy awe, holy trembling. Not the fear where we're scared of him. No, but the fear that draws us into a new place. And that's what I believe firmly, that that's what he's saying in this season, in this hour. We have heard from many people around the world about what happened last night. Heard from people last night and this morning. All eyes are on America right now. And yes, there is much persecution in other countries. And yes, there are many wars going on. There are many, many things happening. But the Lord says, you know me, you keep your eyes on me, and I will teach you my ways. I was praying with someone last night who felt very desperate. And I spoke to them about taking on the yoke of Jesus Christ, because he says, beloved, come to me. So he's drawing all of us to come to him, including former President Trump and all eyes that would surround him and all of us who are in this country, including the current President Biden. He's saying, the Lord is saying, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come and learn of me. He says, take my yoke upon you, because I am gentle and kind. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we see the words or read the words gentle and kind, that doesn't mean that God is a wimp. He's powerful. His angels were highly moving and at work and have been. The Lord himself, by the means that he chose, saved former President Trump from death last night. Potential death. Some people are debating the words. Was it a possible assassination? Some people are afraid to even say that. Well, the former president himself, President Trump, spoke about, he made a comment, I think I have it right here. See if it's there, hon, would you? What you printed off for me. Let me read it to you. Pastor Bill's going to be singing in a moment, and we're going to join in that. But President Trump's statements. This is one is last night, and the other one was this morning, and both were posted on Truth Social. It's President Trump's platform currently. So his statement reads, I want to thank the United States Secret Service, this is last night, and all of law enforcement for their rapid response on the shooting that just took place in Butler, Pennsylvania. Most importantly, I want to extend my condolences to the family of the person at the rally who was killed, and also to the family of another person that was badly injured. It is incredible that such an act can take place in our country. Nothing is known at this time about the shooter, who is now dead. I was shot with a bullet that pierced the upper part of my right ear. I knew immediately that something was wrong and that I heard a whizzing sound, shots, and immediately felt the bullet ripping through the skin. Much bleeding took place, so I realized then what was happening. God bless America. This morning, thank you to everyone for your thoughts and prayers yesterday, as it was God alone who prevented the unthinkable from happening. Do we believe that? In here we do. I pray that in our country, that that becomes the moving force of belief. This is God. I do know from a testimony that was sent to me from a former Muslim jihadist who now serves Jesus, that when he was trained, he was very much activated into things that are absolutely unspeakable. And what he said was that when 911 happened at that time, people were cheering in these countries, Middle Eastern countries, and partying as though there was a great victory. So make no mistake, we are in a very powerful battle, a very highly well-orchestrated battle. But remember who our warrior is. He is Jesus, and he's calling us to take our place, to take our place in history, to take our place first in his family, and know him as he wants to be known and is to be known. Revere him and worship him as he is to be revered and worshiped. And then from that point, everything else starts falling into line. So President Trump goes on, former President Trump goes on to say, "We will fear not, but instead remain resilient in our faith and defiant in the face of wickedness. Our love goes out to the other victims and their families. We pray for the recovery of those who were wounded and hold in our hearts the memory of the citizen who was so horribly killed. In this moment, it is more important than ever that we stand united and show our true character as Americans, remaining strong and determined and not allowing evil to win. I truly love our country and love you all, and look forward to speaking to our great nation this week from Wisconsin." It's very obvious in here that we don't venerate and worship a man. It's very obvious. But it may not be so obvious to a lot of people whose hope would be in the man alone. That is not who we are. However, we do recognize the Lord's hand, and we want to understand how he's moving in our country and what he's saying to us. We'll be going through some scriptures today, and we're going to ask Pastor Bill to come up here. He's going to sing our Star Spangled Banner. Our flag is here. It is a symbol of freedom. It is a symbol of safety. And it's more than a symbol. People have shed their blood for the very, very amazing privilege that we have to be able to stand here in a free country and worship in freedom, in liberty. And it's very important. So we're going to ask him to sing, and then Jamie is going to sing God Bless America, and then we are going to have communion here and some other things. But I do want to read something to you. Mike posted it on Facebook last night. He doesn't know I'm going to say this, but it brought me to tears. Some of you aren't on Facebook. It's your choice. I choose to be because it's a vehicle of communication, and it helps, I believe. But what he wrote was this: "America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Bloodied former President Donald Trump was shot tonight. He stood tall and he pumped his fist after a failed assassination attempt meant to change the course of history. Tonight, our household is grateful for the life, and we deliberately invite you to join us in praying this passage for all our leaders of our nation." And this is the passage. I'm going to read it over us right now. 1 Timothy 2:1-4, the Passion Translation. "Most of all, I'm writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all men with all forms of prayers and requests as you intercede with intense passion. And pray for every political leader and representative so that we would be able to live tranquil, undisturbed lives as we worship the awe-inspiring God with pure hearts. It is pleasing to our Savior God to pray for them. He longs for everyone to embrace his life and return to the full knowledge of the truth, which includes that Jesus is Lord." And he's calling all of us to know him as Lord, receive him as Savior, as that is our position in him, but know him as Lord and receive him as Lord, which is also our position for our sanctification of becoming more like him. That is the process, and that's what he has for us today. So we're going to go ahead And we have a short video we're going to show as well. And it's actually for everyone. You're going to watch the video, 17 minutes, and then we'll dismiss everyone to their classes. Teens will go to theirs, and the little children will go to theirs. But everyone is to watch that. And there is a handout you can take with you if you have to leave early. We're going to use it just with some bullet points, because the Lord spoke even before this happened yesterday that today would be centering around the fear of God, which is such a blessing, such a gift. So the Lord is releasing the gift of the fear of God to us today in a deeper measure. And I pray that we're all in a position to receive this. So if we can all be on our feet, as most of us are.
You may not know, but the Star Spangled Banner has four verses. We only sing the first verse, and we're only going to sing the first verse this morning. But I want to talk about the fourth verse that was written by Francis Scott Key. So join me in singing the national anthem. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the blessing our land. The fourth verse, oh, thus be it ever when freemen shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just. This, and this is our motto, in God is our trust. Good, you can rhyme. And so could he. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. This national anthem is filled with God. And our atmosphere this morning across this nation is filled with God. Newsmen are invoking the name of God. Those that know Holy Spirit are saying, Holy Spirit is responsible for this rescue yesterday. They're speaking out on live TV where they may hold back many times. This is a time to be bold. We're already a group that's bold on the nations of the world, in the streets of our city. We can step up one more level. Amen? Oh, we can step up one more level. Amen? Amen. Oh, that was better. So you might look up these verses. Pretty interesting how he put that together. And there are four, not just one.
Stay standing for this. As we sing out to our Lord and Savior to bless these United States of America and the land that we love, that His marvelous light would shine forth in every dark place, in every single state, in Jesus' mighty name.
God bless America.
Hallelujah. God bless America and God save America. In Jesus' mighty name, you died and you shed your blood for the nations of the world. For the nations of the world and this nation that you have ordained us to live in, to be born in, to live in and to stand for your righteousness and your justice in this country, oh God. We thank you for your precious blood that was shed. Your precious blood that was shed to set us free from the devil, to set us free from the kingdom of darkness, to bring us out of the dominion of darkness and transfer us into your marvelous light. Let that marvelous light that you died for, you raised for, shed, Father, be explode over every state, over the governments, over the leaders, Lord God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And as we take his body and as we take his blood right now, go ahead, grab the elements. Thank you, Jesus. As we take your body, Lord Jesus, and as we take your blood and we remember the one who suffered, the one who died, and the one who rose again, we say, let your will be done. And let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. The will of the Father, the will of the creator of the universe, the one who sets kings into their places. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. You say in your word to come boldly, to approach boldly to your throne of grace, to obtain mercy in our time of need. And this morning, Lord, we cry out for your mercy. We cry out for your mercy, Lord Jesus, that you would not turn your face, Lord God, but that you would draw near and that you would release your mercy in great ways, in powerful ways, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness, Lord. The power of your forgiveness, Lord, in Jesus' name. We come before you as individuals, Lord, as one body, but as individuals, Lord. Thankful and grateful because you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And you reign on high. And you have a mighty purpose and a mighty plan that shall be fulfilled. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your body. Thank you for your blood. Forgive us of our sins, Jesus, and cleanse us from our wicked ways as we turn to you, Lord, and we bend our knee and we surrender to you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are new because of your blood. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus because of your blood that washes away all of our sin. We plead the blood of Jesus over the United States of America, that this country would be a blood-washed nation that worships the one true God and bends its knee to the one true God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you and we honor you and we worship you. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
And just in staying in this attitude of worship, you know, this church, we stand for life, yes? We stand for life, and in that life, we don't recognize any specific man. We recognize the Lion of the tribe of Judah in this place. And we also know that the Lord anoints those who he puts in places of power, and that the enemy, even though he may try, will not prevail when the Lord's direction is first. So we as a church come before the Lord himself, and we thank you, Lord, and we say yes to life. We say yes to life. So join me in this as I read Psalm 145 from the Passion Translation. Just join me in this attitude of worship, because our God is bigger than the natural. Our God is bigger than what we see, and he can move mountains. So right now we say, my heart explodes with praise to you. Now and forever, my heart bows in worship to you, my King and my God. Every day I will lift up my praise to your name with praises that will last throughout eternity. Lord, you are great and worthy of the highest praise, for there is no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds you. Generation after generation will declare more of your greatness and declare more of your glory, your magnificent splendor, and the miracles of your majesty are my constant meditation. Your awe-inspiring acts of power have everyone talking. I'm telling people everywhere about your excellent greatness. Our hearts bubble over as we celebrate the fame of your marvelous beauty, bringing bliss to our hearts. We shout with ecstatic joy over your breakthrough for us. Your kind and tender-hearted to those who don't deserve it, and very patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river overflowing its banks with kindness. God, everyone sees your goodness, for your tender love is blended into everything you do. Everything you have made will praise you, fulfilling its purpose. And all your godly ones will be found bowing before you. They will tell the world of the lavish splendor of your kingdom and preach about your limitless power. They will demonstrate for all to see your miracles of might and reveal the glorious majesty of your kingdom. You are the Lord who reigns over your never-ending kingdom through all the ages of time and eternity. You are faithful to fulfill every promise you've made. You manifest yourself as kindness in all you do. Weak and feeble ones, you will sustain. Those bent over with burdens of shame, you will lift up. You have captured our attention, and the eyes of all look to you. You give what they hunger for at just the right time. And when you open your generous hand, it's full of blessings, satisfying the longings of every living thing. You are fair and righteous in everything you do, and your love is wrapped into your works. You draw near to those who call out to you, listening closely, especially when their hearts are true. Every godly one receives even more than what they ask for. For you hear what their hearts really long for, and you bring them your saving strength. God, you watch carefully over all your devoted lovers like a bodyguard, but you will destroy the ungodly. I will praise you, Lord. Let everyone join me in praising the beautiful Lord of holiness from now through eternity. And yes, Lord, we praise you as a body right now. We thank you, Lord, that as we draw near to you and we call out that you are there listening closely, our hearts before you are repentant and true. Lord, we know that it is you alone who opens his generous hand, and that we eat and live and are sustained through you. Father, we speak your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, and that no attack from the enemy meant to thwart your purpose and destiny would be successful. So we as a body stand together now, and we know that where you are, all things are possible. So Lord, together, our hearts explode in praise to you. Our knees bow in worship to you. Every day we lift up your name and praise you and you alone, knowing that glory to you will last through eternity. We declare more of your greatness and more of your glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Angela, if we can put this picture up, that one. There's a woman who was praying for President Trump while he spoke, and he let her hold his hands. And this was sent to me this morning by some spiritual friends, and this photo was taken in 2016. So Angela's going to put that up for us. And then there's another one that was taken from last night. So if you can look at this, this was President Trump at that time, and the Lord has been moving while he was president and still is moving now. And what a beautiful picture that can melt our hearts as well, that we are called as intercessors, not just when we have a special night of intercession. And thank you, Amanda, for putting the table together. And we're going to keep this table up between now and the elections, and people will be coming into a greater understanding of what this the supposed separation of church and state really is, and we're going to have further explanation of that so people can lose any fear of walking in boldness and authority for who we are in Jesus and what Jesus expects us to do. And as the commander of all, he's expecting us to respond to him as we recognize how great he is and how greatly and worthy of praise he is, using the wisdom that flows out of the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which we will speak about today. The next picture was taken last night, so if you can put that up as well. And there is a picture that many of you saw if you were watching this on the news or whatever, you caught it live. And President Trump is down, and his hands are up, and all kinds of things may have been going through his heart, his mind, obviously his body, and the nation at large. And it's very poignant to be able to point to this and say, Lord, you're calling us into a place of submission. This is a time for us to see that when we're prostrate before you, not that God had him shot so he would have, that would happen. That's not what I'm saying. That's not the nature of the Lord. He's not doing something. But at the same time, he uses all things as a wake-up call and says, excuse me, I sit in the heavens and I just decide what's going to be permitted. So many prophetic people around the world are speaking many things. Great. And that's nice. And there are many things that have been prophesied. That's great and that's nice. But what I say to you in this season is that if the Holy Spirit lives in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that raised his mortal body to life, lives in us, because that's the gospel of the kingdom. So what we want to do is hear from the Spirit of the living God. So as we would read any decrees and declarations, and I haven't checked this table yet, but we want to be mindful. It's not about, well, I believe this and you believe that. It's about, Lord, we're standing for you, and we want to hear what you are doing, what you are saying, and how we are to respond. We have the privilege of being alive in 2024. And there are many things on many TV national shows and news places and on the internet that we can get information. But information just remains information if everything isn't filtered through truth himself. And that's what we need most of all. So I am calling you, clarion call, raising the bar, raising the standard of righteousness and holy intercession, and us stepping into a place of saying, Lord, you speak over 400 times in the Bible about the fear of the Lord. And when President Trump says, do not be afraid, fear not, or don't let fear stop you, or any aspect of fear, he's speaking as a very strong and powerful leader, which is great. But we all know that the one who is going to release us into the faith it takes to call down heaven on earth as it is in heaven says, I want you to fear me. So I want you to understand what that is, so that we will truly bend our knee to the mighty God. So it's not our way, what we think, all about us and our opinions. At the end of the day, they really don't matter. So the Lord wants us to come into a place of trusting him, and through the word, in his spirit, by the presence of God, that will happen. So there will be an increase in signs, in wonders, healings, deliverances. And people say things and they do things. Your best course of action is to read the Bible and to get into the presence of the Lord and worship him in spirit and in truth. And then set your course to educate yourself spiritually. And we help with that any way that we possibly can, to give us a better understanding of the ways of the kingdom, the ways of God. And many times the Lord will use what looks to be foolish to really shake up a religious heart or mind, because he's God. So what we're doing, what we are desiring to do, is train up and equip people who want to step out in faith for King Jesus. And that will include people who will be leading nations, people who are leading nations. So we're called to pray for our leaders. We're called to do these things and to step out with more gusto, more fervor, less focus on other things, more focus on him, so that we can really, really step into what we were created to do, So he'll take the brilliant minds that he's given us, and he says, I want these minds to be conformed to the mind of Christ, because you'll never go wrong that way. So I'm very excited about where we are and very grateful that the Lord has chosen to spare President Trump's life. And better yet, or along with that, to give us, in his mercy, an opportunity to see things turn and to see things turn back towards him and even surpass the early years of how the United States was formed. Let's go back to the gospel of the kingdom coming in the very first altar call when Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and the Holy Spirit was released, brought in 3,000 people. So it's time for you to invite your friends to come. Leave the results in God's hands. Because we will have a bigger place. We will have what we need, even more. Don't be thinking they can't handle it there. That's not your call. Invite your friends. Let the Spirit of God bring them in so that we can come together as a powerful body, one nation under one God, with liberty, freedom, and justice for all. Amen? Amen. So at this point, we're going to watch a 17-minute video, and the little children can be released. I'd like the teens to stay in here, and then you can zip after that, little ones. So the parents who are going to be teaching, I'm asking you to watch this and not let this go. Even with missions and everything else going on, watch this so that you can participate in what we're doing. So we do have what's called the Holy Fear of God, and I need a couple volunteers to help Ashley so we can very quickly spread it out, and then Ashley's going to make sure the teachers get one as well. So if you can do that quickly, guys, we'll give you about 2 minutes. So we need a couple more people to move quickly and get it done, because we want to get this up there, the Holy Fear of God. So if you can take a couple, Ash, and go over on this side so we can move this, thank you. That would be good. And actually, this is from John Bevere, not the handout. The handout is from watching this and making some bullet points. Don't worry about the handout at all. Just have it so we can refer to it very quickly. But we're going to watch this right now. So listen carefully, and if there would be any need to remove, to leave for some reason, somebody's screaming, crying, or something, please do that so we can concentrate, okay? So let's watch this. This is called the Holy Fear of God, or we're calling it that.
Told you of a hidden virtue that, in essence, is the key to all of life. It unlocks the purpose of your existence. It attracts the presence, protection, and providence of your Creator. It is the root of all noble character, the foundation of all happiness, and provides the needed adjustments to all inharmonious circumstances you may face. To firmly embrace this virtue will lengthen your life, procure good health, ensure success and safety, eliminate lack, and guarantee a noble legacy. Now, you're probably thinking, that's fiction. There is no such virtue. I assure you, there is. And it was written by one of the wisest men that have ever walked the earth. In fact, not only did he write these words, he was anointed by the Creator to write them. And so he begins as a young child, right? And he's raised up by his parents in this virtue. He embraces it and becomes a very wise leader. Eventually, he's ruling millions of people. He was so successful in his leadership, the kings and queens would come from all over the world just to listen to his wisdom and to see the system that he had set up and the procedures he had set up in his nation. Well, he grew and grew, became so wealthy, the silver was worthless because it was so abundant. Every family in his nation had a home and a garden. There was no poverty. There was no unemployment. There was no welfare. This man was brilliant. But After time, he lost sight of this virtue that got him to where he was. He forsook it and walked away from it. He became wise in his own eyes. And what happened is he fell from being a great and wise leader to becoming now a pessimist cynic. Yeah, he wrote a book in this time period of being this cynical person and said, everything's boring, utterly boring. No one can find any meaning in it. He made statements in this book like, history merely repeats itself and there's nothing new under the sun. What's wrong can't be made right. What's missing cannot be recovered. The day you die is better than the day you're born. Who writes this? But somebody who's become jaded and cynical. Well, the good news is he didn't die in this state. He recovered. Because at the very end of this book called Ecclesiastes, the book of the cynical outlook on life, he recovers. Because he says in the very last chapter, seven times in one way or another, to remember God. And then the very last verse of this book, he writes, here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands. This is everyone's duty. The word duty literally means all, everything, whole, entirety. This is man's all, is to fear God and keep his commandments. So the fear of God is this prized treasure that I'm talking about. If you look at fear, people have been trying to run from fear for years. They've been trying to eradicate it. If you look at FDR, he made the statement, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. If you look at people in the 1980s and 1990s, they were wearing shirts boldly proclaiming, no fear. If you look at our platforms and the books that are published, we are constantly trying to eradicate fear. But is this obsession accurate? Yes, there are unhealthy fears. There are people that fear for a lack of finances. So they begin to hoard. They begin to worry over their finances. There are people that fear losing a spouse. So they smother them or they create a behavior that pushes spouses away. But there's not only harmful fears, there's actually beneficial fears. You know, the fear of falling 2,000 feet off of a cliff will give you the wisdom to not walk too closely to that cliff. The fear of a grizzly bear will keep you from messing with its cubs. The fear of burning your hand in a 500-degree oven, you'll put some mitts on to protect yourself. But even those fears can go too far, because if you fear too much of heights, you'll not get on a plane and enjoy traveling. If you fear too much the mother bear, you may not make the walk in the woods. If you fear too much of burning your hand in a 500-degree oven, you may never have a home-cooked meal. The real question is asking, what do we fear the most? This is actually a wise question that if we ask it and we look at it, it will end up producing great, great fruit in our lives. If you look at holy fear, the fear of the Lord of which I spoke about, God says in Isaiah 33, verse 6, that it is his treasure. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for a moment. The fear of the Lord is God's treasure. And then in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3, it says that the fear of the Lord is Jesus's delight. Wait a minute. God's treasure and Jesus's delight? If you look at the Apostle Paul, he says that our salvation is matured through fear and trembling. I think we need to stop and take a look at this. I'll never forget, back in 1994, I was just starting to get interested in the fear of the Lord because I saw it so much in Scripture, over 200 references in Scripture on holy fear. And so I'm beginning to study it, but I really don't have that deep understanding of it. And I went to a church conference. It was one of the largest churches in the area. They had a lot of people in that conference that night. I was speaking two nights for them. And I'll never forget, I got up and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, share on it. So I shared on my limited understanding of the fear of the Lord. Well, the next night when I came into the meeting, before the pastor introduced me in the conference for the final night, he said, what John shared last night is error. He said, and I want to protect you from it. He said, as New Testament Christians, we don't need to fear God because perfect love has cast out all fear. He said, fear of God is an Old Testament version. And he went on to share this for several minutes. I'm sitting in the front row, horrified. And I'm like, okay, well, he's not going to introduce me tonight. But to my shock, he introduced me. And I remember as I'm walking up to the platform, I'm thinking, how in the world can I minister to these people after that? After he just for 10 minutes corrected and said that I spoke error the night before. Well, it wasn't easy, and I pushed through it and preached about a 30-minute message. And I'll never forget going back to my hotel room, and the next morning, I remember going and finding a construction site. Nobody was around, and praying and said, God, have I hurt your church? Have I hurt your people? What have I done wrong? Because this pastor was much older than me. I was a young man at this time. And I remember not feeling the correction of the Holy Spirit, but I remember feeling the pleasure of the Holy Spirit. And before too long, I found myself crying out to know the fear of the Lord. Well, that began a journey in discovering that the fear of the Lord is actually a treasure, a gift, and it helps us in life. You know, the first thing I want to do is to start, and let me say this very carefully, to begin to define the fear of the Lord. Now, first thing I need to say is that the fear of God is not to be scared of God, because God desires a relationship of intimacy with us. And how can we have any kind of an intimate relationship with somebody we're scared of? If you look at Moses, when he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, the first place he wanted to bring them was not the promised land. It was Mount Sinai. That was where the bush was that Moses encountered God. I mean, why does Moses want to bring them from Egypt into a promised land without first bringing them to the promiser? If you bring the people into the promised land before them meeting the promiser, they're going to make the promised land into a place of idolatry. Moses is such an amazing man. I look at his life. Well, first of all, look at the children of Israel. I mean, they're brought up in slums. They are living their lives to build somebody else's inheritance. They have stripes on their backs from whips. They are slave laboring all day. They have their children put to death by the Egyptians, but they come out of Egypt and they're constantly saying, let's go back to Egypt. Moses is living in one of the most beautiful homes on the planet. His grandfather is the richest man in the whole world. Moses comes out and never says, I want to go back to Egypt. Why? Because he had one encounter with the one that we all long for. And that one encounter with his presence at that bush caused him to never, ever look back to Egypt. Well, he wants to bring Israel right there to that mountain and meet the same God he met at that bush. And when he brings them out, he has this private meeting with God in Exodus 19, verses 3 and 4. God says to Moses, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings. Now listen to these words, and brought you to myself. The whole purpose for God delivering Israel out of Egypt, which is a type of us today coming out of the world is Egypt, is because he said, I want to bring you to myself. God was so excited to meet these kids. I mean, think about it. For 400 years, they're in slavery, right? And God says, I can't wait to introduce myself to my children, right? He's excited. He's got a father's heart. He's always had his father's heart. But when God comes down on the mountain, his presence on the third day, the people scream and run away. And Moses looks at the people and says to them in Exodus 20:20, and if you want a 20:20 vision, here it is. Moses says, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you so that you may not sin. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. Do not fear, because God's come to see if his fear is in you. It sounds like Moses is talking out of both sides of his mouth. He's contradicting himself. No, Moses is simply differentiating between being scared of God and the fear of the Lord. The person that is scared of God has something to hide. Remember, what does Adam do? As soon as he disobeys God in the garden, he hides from the presence of God. The person that fears God has nothing to hide. That person is terrified of being away from God. So if you want the first definition of what the fear of the Lord is, it is to be scared. Let me go further. It is to be terrified of being away from God. Now, let me say this. I'm going to attempt to give you a definition in our remaining time here of what the fear of the Lord is. However, it is absolutely impossible to do so. I can't do it in a lesson. I can't do it in an entire study. I can't even do it in a book. I mean, it would be kind of like saying, I'm going to give you the full definition of the love of God in one lesson. That is impossible, okay? And I have, for years, heard people say this. I've heard leaders say it. I've heard it in green rooms. I've heard it in restaurants with leaders, that the fear of the Lord is only to reverence God. Wait a minute. Whoa. That's like saying the love of God is patient and kind, okay? That is one of the definitions of the love of God, but that is not the full definition of love. So to say that the fear of the Lord is just reverence is about as silly as saying the love of God is only patient and kind. So let's dive into it. I'm going to give you a scripture in the book of Hebrews that I think is a good one to start out with. And that is Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. I want you to listen. This is New Testament, okay? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. How do we serve God acceptably? With reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, notice he's got two words, reverence and godly fear. He's not just repeating himself. So the fear of God can't just be reverence just by this verse alone. First of all, the word reverence is a very accurate translation. What about godly fear? The word godly fear in the Hebrew literally carries the meaning of awe in it. Now, I'm going to give you the definition of awe from the original Noah Webster dictionary. He defines awe as this: fear, dread, inspired by something great and terrific, to strike with fear and reverence, to influence by fear, terror, or respect. Now, that sounds a little daunting, a little scary. Don't be scared, because remember, the fear of the Lord doesn't repulse us from God. It actually draws us to him. So do not be afraid of what I just said. So let me just rattle off some definitions to begin our study. The fear of God, to fear God, is to esteem, respect, honor, venerate, revere, be in awe of, and adore him above anything or anyone else. We love what he loves, and we hate what he hates. Now, notice I don't say we dislike what he hates. We hate what he hates. You say, God hates? Oh, yeah, God hates. Well, this is the reason why I didn't want to hear about the fear of the Lord, because I've seen these religious, legalistic people go, well, I hate those sinners over there. Well, they don't fear God at all because they hate what he loves. God loves those sinners over there, sir. So that means you have no fear of God because you actually hate what he loves. Now, I will say this. God hates the sin that unmakes those people because God loves people. See, we love what he loves. We hate what he hates. What is important to him becomes important to us. What is not so important to him is not so important to us. So to fear God is to give him the praise, adoration, thanksgiving, and worship that he deserves. Not what we think he deserves, what he deserves. To fear God is to give him all that belongs to him. It is to tremble before him in wonder and awe, to give his word and presence full attention in our lives. To fear God is to obey him. It's not just a desire, but an inward force that determines to carry out his will. The fear of the Lord is to shun any form of complaining, murmuring, or grumbling. The fear of the Lord shapes our intentions and our motives. It works deeply within us, and it also shapes our words and our actions. Now, let me give you some of the benefits of holy fear, because this will really get you excited, and this will give you a little taste of what's coming. First of all, and most important benefit of fearing God, is it is the key to intimacy with God. Second, it is the beginning of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. It gives foresight and clear divine direction. Third, I've already said this, it's how we mature our salvation and are conformed into the image of Jesus. That excites me right there. Number four, it produces true, authentic holiness. And don't let that word scare you. I'll make that word delightful to you in a future lesson. All right. It secures eternal legacy. That's a big one. It produces confidence, fearlessness, and security. It swallows, I love this one, it swallows up all other fears, including the fear of man. It gives us identity. It makes us productive and empowers us to multiply. This is all in the Bible. Okay, I found over 40 distinct promises of only those who fear God. Watch this. It provides angelic assistance, fulfilled desires, enduring success, nobility, influence, longevity, productive days. Are you getting excited? These are all promises from your Creator. I'm getting excited just talking about it. Enjoyment in life. Yes, the person who fears God, three times in two verses, it says they will have great joy and happiness. Okay? So people that really fear God are happy. They're not grumpy like legalists. Okay? The fear of the Lord endures forever. It will never fade out. Let me tell you, I hope I've whet an appetite in you to continue this study on the holy awe of God.
Wow, that's really good stuff, and we have a lot of things to add to that. We only have less than a half hour, so the teens can stay in here because we want to show you a little quick video clip of an eagle that was let out of a cage, and the rest of the young people, the little ones, you know, they're gone to their class. But there are so many things that we won't be able to cover today, and that's okay, and we do have a handout for you that you have right now, and you can use this at home. But we're really encouraging you to take this study seriously because a lot of the scriptures that we're going to go over here are going to be helpful for us to acquire the actual use, if you want to call it that, of the force. You all have heard the phrase, let the force be with you. We all know that, right? Well, force is good. We like force, but it has to be the good force. And so when we are growing up and we have good force and bad force and good overcomes evil, that's great because we're being trained to understand, wait a minute, there's good and there's bad, and good is supposed to win. It doesn't seem like it always happens, but that's the idea because God is good. So understanding the goodness of God and what that really looks like from his perspective is extremely important as the Lord is rescuing us out of the world. It's like, well, we live in this world. And he says, I want you to be happy, be fruitful, and multiply, and be happy. Yes, we live in the world, but we're not of it. So this force, if you will, this spiritual force inside, it's a virtue, as we heard. It's a virtue, meaning it's something that's cultivated, that grows in intensity, grows in understanding, grows inside. Some people call it power. Some people call it force. Some people call it a virtue. Some people say it's an attribute. Call it what you want, but it's real. It's the spirit of the holy God, our holy God, which is the fear of him, meaning who he is, the essence of who he is, the completeness of who he is. It's wrapped up in our response to his holiness. It's wrapped up for us to be able to look at him, and he's holy. That's why the angels in the throne room are worshiping him day and night. There's really no day and night, but worshiping him constantly because of the holiness. They're created beings, the holiness of God. We've just now, I believe, in this season, if you want to call it that, of beginning to go into the last days. Officially, last days started when Jesus died and rose from the dead. That was the beginning of the end. But then Scripture tells us when we study the book of Revelation, and actually from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, that there are signs of the times of Jesus' imminent return. And we're in that season. So we have to define what does season look like and how are we supposed to respond, because we're here. God created us, and he said, you're going to be living in 2024. I've got a plan for you. And it's going to fit into my overall plan for this world because I'm coming back as the Lion of Judah. I was a little lamb born in a manger, still the Lion of Judah. But as you celebrate me at Christmas, you'll understand that I grew, Jesus, in wisdom and stature and favor as a man with God, his Father, and man. That's what the scripture says. So the spirit of the fear of the Lord is in essence part of, or the encapsulating key, if you would, to understanding who lives inside of us. Getting a grasp on that, understanding who's there, and understanding what God has done with himself in other people after he raised from the dead and the church started, as we know it, the new covenant. But before that, all the thousands of years before that, when man was walking this earth, to understand how the Lord dealt with man, how the Lord dealt with the sin in man, and what his response to man and humankind would be to rescue us out of the bondage that would follow us unless we had a Savior, our Lord Jesus. So in essence, that's just talking through the gospel. But when you're talking to people who don't have a clue to what you're talking about, you can actually use a very common approach to you. Okay, for example, if you've ever been on an airplane and you feel as though there's a measure of safety in traveling on that plane, traveling to other countries or wherever it would be, you put your trust in someone or something. Is it just in the metal cylinder that you're in, or is it in God? A mixture? Your mind goes through all of these things. You're up in the air. Well, I know the principles and the laws of thermodynamics and aerodynamics, and I understand, so it's pretty safe. Okay. So you go through all of these mental understandings, rightfully so, because the most brilliant one in the universe gave you principles, gave you strong things to understand in the world, but also says it's very, very important for you to understand and know the one who put all of this in motion in such a way that you're able to get wisdom and understanding and direction from the King, who's smarter than any scientist, any person who prides themselves on having a good brain. God gave him that good brain, and he wants that brain to be used for his kingdom, for his glory, that will affect those who don't know him. So for me, I travel a lot, and I do use anything in my life, or I try to help someone else understand, come into a place of receiving Jesus as his or her Lord, Savior, King, explaining that. But if I didn't have that inside of me working, I would just be given a bunch of facts to somebody. But when you have the risen one by his Spirit living inside, then you know him. You begin to be able to feel confident enough to share with other people. So I can share the goodness of God, even when it comes to traveling on planes, sitting next to someone who's absolutely petrified, never flown before. This happened to me this year. A girl who was just drinking as much as she could because she couldn't, she was just completely out. Why am I on this? Was I crazy? So God placed me there just to tell her about the one who wants to take care of her, wants to love her. Hearing from God, what does he say about her? What does he want her to know from that? What does he want to do with her right at that moment? Just calm her down so she doesn't freak out anymore? I mean, the people around me, they were looking at me because I was peaceful and calm. She was not. And they're looking at me like, can you help her? Can you do something? And so I stepped into that role because that's where God had me. But there may be something not as extreme sounding as that, that's just right with you, people that you have over to your house, or people that you walk down the road with or you work with or whatever. And it's like, Lord, I need your mind, your eyes to be able to help them take the next step. I don't want to limit them by my own fear. I want to say, Lord, what do you have for them? How can I be a vessel to really help them in a way that will make sense? Help them be drawn into the holy fear of God. So for us, I want to show you this quick clip. It's just a minute or so or less. Ashley pared it down. But I want to think of yourself. I want you to think of yourself as an eagle. Because the Lord says, I bore you up on eagle's wings. The Lord says, you have so many qualities. First and foremost, because I created you. I love you. You're made in my image. You have a strong future and a hope. And I have a plan for your life. And I want you to receive me, to discover me and that plan. This is like good news. We can't lose. It's not God taking something away from us. He's giving to us, but then he's removing the barrier that would keep us from flying as the eagles were created to be. And that was actually pared down because it was several minutes long. And we sat there and sat there and sat there because this eagle was just marching back and forth, just wondering, looking around, sizing up its area, just wondering, wait a minute here, this is a newfound freedom. I don't know what to do with this, but I was created to fly. And so the Lord is speaking to us today, saying, I am creating you, or I have created you, to fly way beyond where you are right now. And I want to remove any obstacle that's in the way. I believe that President Trump is coming to terms with some things because when your life is on the line like that, you're thinking probably a little differently. I don't doubt any words that he's saying. I think they're great. But I believe his faith will take a deeper rooted posture for his own life, which will affect all of us and the people that he's around. That would be our prayer. For him, for any leader, because the Lord's calling all of us into leadership of some kind, but leaders in his kingdom, his kingdom. Well, how can you be a leader in the kingdom and be in a very high position like that? You can. I can tell you right now that there's something new going on in Mozambique. There's a candidate running for president, and their elections are coming soon, and it's very different. He's a believer. And he's calling the church to himself. And he's saying, I can't do this alone. I really need your help. So the fear of God is beginning to take him over. So Pastor Jose was telling me about this. This could affect everything. This could affect the war in the north. Could affect so many things. Is it on one man? No. But the Lord has his structure for a reason. And he's calling people to rally around those that he's raising up. But he's calling those who rally around to have others who rally around them. He's calling us to pull in together. And whether we know somebody or we don't know somebody, that shouldn't be the qualifying agent when we're in a group of people. The Lord's maturing us so that we can walk into a place, not know anyone, but be close enough to the Lord to be able to say, Lord, what do they need? Who are they? Who are these people, or who is this person? Give me, naturally, what I can do to help them feel comfortable, feel loved. The sensitivity of the Spirit will come against any legalistic way that people could have with this is what I do, this is what I don't do. When we stay in close to ourselves because we're more comfortable, the Lord says, that's not what I did. When Jesus walked this earth, he was a friend to sinners, but he didn't sin. And he didn't allow any excuses for sin either. He always lovingly helped people come out of the ditch, come out of the trap. It's not just that he didn't participate in the sinful lifestyle. He was sinless. It's that he helped others come out of what they were in so that they could fly. Because sin is a detriment. Anything that runs, that tells us, you run your own life. You do what you want to do. It's up to you. I'm saying this accurately, he's not currently president. But let's just say that any part of this right now, for any of our leaders or leaders-to-be coming into that place, about God himself and where they stand with him, that's a non-negotiable between God and man from God's perspective. So our role is to support that and encourage people to be able to not just step into that, but understand our ways as intercessors and understand why it's so important. John Bevere was speaking about Solomon, and he was speaking about Moses. And it's very interesting. We tried to lay out some of the points that he was making in this handout. And when he was speaking about Solomon, he started out really well. And he was the richest man, the most noted man. People, kings and queens from around the world would come and want to see, how in the world did you do this? I want to know your kingdom. I want to know your structure. He was wealthy, very wealthy. He had the heart after the Lord. And the Lord said, what do you really want from me? Do you know what his answer was? I want wisdom. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So I know what I'm doing and I can rule and reign and all that, right? But it says in Scripture, in Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord. So at that time in his life, that's what he walked in. He walked in the fear of the Lord, which was the beginning of wisdom for him. And relying on the Lord allowed him to raise up in grandeur and in great majesty, actually, before men. But he lost sight of that, as you heard from in Ecclesiastes. He was starting to be pretty negative, and he was starting to be very, very cynical. But it wasn't until the end of the book, when in the last chapter, at least seven different times, he referred to remember God, remember God, remember God. And then he was saying, what you need to do is walk with him and fear God. Because he came to that. So he ended better than, it didn't stay the way it was in the beginning of Ecclesiastes. But it's very noted because Solomon was trusted with so much. And then Moses. Now here we are, the Old Testament. It's not just what did God do in that guy's life. No, it's what is the plan of God? What is the gospel of the kingdom from the beginning in Genesis all the way through to Revelation? It's about Jesus all the way through. So God is saying, I want you to understand my Old Testament and covenant with those eyes because Christ lives in you by the Spirit. That's the new covenant. That's why a church was birthed in one day of 3,000 people. And another, I forget how many, 7,000 or something, 8,000 came after that. It's just incredible. Like, how did that happen? Why? The spirit of the fear of the Lord, the empowerment of Holy Spirit was given so that people could live a life for God, live a holy life for God, so that they wouldn't sin. Doesn't mean that we are sinless. It means that we have the propensity now, the empowerment now, the grace now to walk out that which he calls us to walk out. Couldn't do it before. Nobody could do it in the Old Testament. But with the New Testament, with this force, this empowerment, yes. That's really good news. When lawlessness was brought out, additional points of fear and lawlessness. Lawlessness is just another word for sin. And the benefits of holy fear, the 40 distinct promises to those who fear God are in the scripture, but the Lord says, I want you to receive them by faith. I want you to know how they work by faith. If you don't understand and receive by faith, and it's just a bunch of facts on a paper, it means nothing. Go throw it away. But if you're interested, then there's more, which I believe that we are. And God is really, really true, you know, when he's telling us, giving us examples. Like Moses at the burning bush. How many times have we heard that when Moses had an encounter with the Lord at the burning bush, that it was really important for God to meet him there? And Moses had the richest grandfather in the world, Pharaoh, right? And he was rescued. We all know the story of the little baby in the basket and how that all worked. And we follow Moses' life. It's very, very interesting. But Moses, when he encountered the Lord, that power came to him. He met the Lord. And what did he want to do when he was told, hey, go rescue my people? He wanted them to meet the rescuer. He wanted them to meet the deliverer. He wanted them to meet the one who set them free before he took them to the promised land. I think, as we heard here, that he wanted them to meet the promiser. That's what this is about. God says, I want you to meet the promiser. I want you to meet Holy Spirit. I want you to want more of him, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is really great. So we had a lot of definitions here. We had a lot of scriptures that are highlighted in here. Tried to capture them all last night as much as possible so that you could look at it. You could talk to your kids about it. Bring it down. Bring it real to people. Because really, remember, the Israelites, when they left Egypt, they wanted to go back. And they lived in slumland. They had stripes on their back. They were enslaved. They had a terrible time. But they didn't like. They murmured. They complained. They had a hard time. They wanted to go back to what was comfortable, what they knew. It was the enemy trying to get them back. And the Lord said, you don't know what you're doing. You still don't know what you're doing. Even when I get Moses to get you out of there, you don't know what you're doing. You need to meet me. Well, I want to be in the promised land. Well, you need to meet me. And that's why Moses took them to Mount Sinai to meet the promise keeper, the promise giver and the promise keeper. So what you can do with your own kids, if you want, is go through the accounts in Exodus. Show them in the Bible themselves, the little ones, the older ones, or yourselves, or your friends. You know, take time and say, Lord, I don't really know where I stand with the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I don't know what that means. It sounds like a bunch of stuff I heard at a church service, and I'm sitting there, and maybe I'll like it, maybe I won't. The Lord says there's revelation, which means understanding from heaven, that will bring you into a place where the Lord says, you'll meet with me, but it's going to take humility. I would say there would be, this is my guess, because I don't know the man, for President Trump, that there was a new measure of humility, gratitude, thankfulness, and everything else in him as he realizes that his life was spared because of God, because of the angelic host, and however God decided to do that. It's not something small. It's something big. It opens up our eyes to see that you're really in charge. You really are sovereign. I don't understand what that means, but you're bigger than I thought. But you said, I'm an eagle, and I'm meant to soar on eagle's wings, and you bore me up. And so I'm going, Lord, what does that mean? He says, humble yourself under my mighty hand, and I will lift you up in due time. It's like, oh. So when he speaks, first of all, we want to know that we can hear him. Secondly, we want to obey him. So it's about obedience. So again, it sounds like, well, this is good. This is true. Yes. And then we leave here and there's no difference. So I'm going to believe that right now, as whoever's in here, Carl can come and join us on the keys. I'm just going to pray right now. I had hoped we'd have a little more time, but I think this is good for today. And I would encourage you to consider what's in here. It's valuable. And yes, it's paper, but it is valuable. And not just look at hidden virtues and benefits for yourself, but also what God's saying for the United States of America. I can tell you that many people that I heard from overseas all agreed this is a wake-up call for the United States. Wake up. And that means for each one of us, and we're not to sit idly by, and I believe the Lord is hearing our prayers. He is listening. He is responding. He does know what he's doing. There's a time and a season for everything, and when Jesus comes back, there are going to be many things that will happen prior to that. We're going to be speaking much more about that in here. And so what does the enemy want to do? He wants us to absolutely freak out and start finger pointing here, 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 and here. So we get distracted and we start getting wrapped up in fleshly, worldly things, thinking that we're really on. And God is saying, look, humble yourselves, because I'm really good at humbling you. So humble yourselves under my mighty hand and watch what I do. Amen? So let's pray, because it's 12:30, and I believe we'll be coming to a time where 12:30 won't matter. I don't know when that's going to be, but it's coming. So 2 Thessalonians, you can just back me up, Carl. 2 Thessalonians is at the very top of the holy fear of God. It says, let no one in any way deceive or entrap you, for that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first. That is the great rebellion, the abandonment of the faith by professed Christians. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, the Antichrist, the one who is destined to be destroyed. Well, that sounds kind of scary. But the Lord knows exactly what's going to happen, and he knows how we're going to respond. And in his mercy and grace, he's trying to tell us, if you'll really turn to me wholeheartedly and surrender your entire world and life to me, that I would become your Lord in a way that you maybe haven't experienced yet. Because to be born again, we don't just say, yeah, you're my Savior. I believe you died to get me out of hell. Thanks. Good job, Jesus. Because you did this, I offer my life to you in exchange, which is the requirement. That's what you say. You did this for the whole world, but you did this for me so that I would be humbled to realize that everything that I thought was okay, me running my own life and figuring it out, and I'll get to that someday, was just not okay. Because you cared so much about me, Jesus, that you wanted me to recognize that what was keeping me encaged like that eagle was sin. And that was passed down through since the beginning of time with Adam and Eve. But that nature needed to be changed, because the eagle needed to recognize who he really was. So we have a word picture there of the eagle in the cage. But the Lord says, I came so you wouldn't be in the cage. I came to set you free. And I came to enable you to fly and soar, to be able to accomplish what I've called you to accomplish. And that will not happen without the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom to be able to live out the call in our lives. That's what I'm excited about. And it does take a repentant heart. It takes us to be able to say yes and amen to what it is that you're calling us to do. I'm really encouraging you all to come on Tuesday. Make some changes and try to get here if you can. That would be, I'm not even going to say if you can. You already know that. So come. Figure out that we can come corporately and see what God is saying to us. Worship him. Be taught by him. And take this as seriously as possible. I don't know about you, but when I saw this last night, I had tears coming down. It's like, Lord, this is shaking. And he said, I'm shaking anything that can be shaken. You need to understand my ways. You need to understand me without your own opinion, which doesn't mean anything unless it matches up with mine. Yes, sir. Is that the love of God? It surely is. Is that the grace of God? Most definitely is. We're actually going to have a class. It's called the Glory School. We've had it before. It's very good. There's quite a few who haven't had a chance to take that yet. And since nothing changes in God's kingdom that way, it's old, but it's not old. So we're going to have that soon, starting in the fall. Anyone who wants to help with that, help monitor that, help release it, help teach it. It is a series with Patricia King. It's very good. Please see me. That would be great. That would be helpful. And you're welcome to sit in and get it again. There's great teaching on the angelic hosts and very scriptural explanations of what the glory is. So the glory of God is really understood and well attended to, if you would. It's not just something that we say, hey, glory to God. But we understand God's glory, and we can not only speak about God's glory, but we can demonstrate that. Just like we can demonstrate he gets glorified when we demonstrate his healings and deliverances. When he says, as you go, preach the kingdom, he doesn't say, go pray for the sick. He says, heal. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you've received, now freely give. That's blasphemy. I don't heal anybody. Read the words. Everything is done in Jesus' name by the power of Jesus. We're the ambassadors for him, but he is the healer. But he's saying, step into the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Amen. Whew, this is so good. So, Father, we just thank you that since we have promises according to 2 Corinthians 7:1, your word says, therefore, having promises of having you dwelling in and among us, that we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Thank you, Lord. Father, according to 2 Corinthians 7:1, we offer ourselves today. Father, according to Leviticus 10:3, your word says, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. Father, in Romans 1:23, your word says, in the last days, men will trade the unfading splendor, the glory of the immortal God, to worship the fading image of other human beings. Your word says in Isaiah 40, 25 and 26, to whom will you compare me? To whom is my equal? Ask the Holy One. Look up into the heavens who created all the stars. He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by name. A few more verses and then we'll close. Father, according to Colossians 1, 15 through 19, your word says, he is the image, Jesus, of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was by the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. You are mighty in battle. You're the King of glory. You're the Lord, strong and mighty. You're the warrior, you're the power, and your right hand shatters the enemy. You will do it for all who surrender to your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. So I thank you, Father, that Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, only you, God, you're sovereign. You chart the course of nations. Heaven is your throne, and earth is your footstool. And your word says in verse 2 also, but on this one thing I will look, on him who is poor and have a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Because your word says in Psalm 33, 13 and 14, he carefully examines and watches everything. Thank you, Lord. And then finally, as your word says in Psalm 2, 12, kiss the Son. In Isaiah 66, 18, this verse, for I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming to gather all the nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. So, Father, right now, we just thank you that your fear is here, the fear of you, the fear of the Lord, your holiness, God, your presence is here, and we are receiving and humbling ourselves to receive from you what you are having for us to have today, which is more of you, God. There is no confusion in you. Confusion, leave this room. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for the truth, because your word says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Thank you, Father. We will mount up with wings of eagles. We will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. Let it be. Thank you for this great nation. Thank you for the privilege of serving you in this great nation. Thank you that you are of a kingdom that knows no end. And your word says the kingdom of heaven lives inside of us who know you. So, Father, let us humble ourselves right now and say yes to your word, yes to your ways. Thank you, Father, that the spirit of the fear of the Lord will bring us into a new place as we say, yes, Lord, we are searching after you to be found by you and to know you in this way. We are searching after you. Give us, release to us the increase for the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let it be today. Forgive us, Lord, where we have taken you for granted. Forgive us, Lord, where we have entered into even worship with you frivolously and not realizing that you're holy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the joy set before you, Jesus. You endured the cross. You endured the despising and the shame so that we could be free. Let it be today. For anyone who's watching online, we just invite you to say, yes, Jesus, I want to know you. I give you myself. I surrender my opinions, my ways that don't match up with you. I surrender that to you. I surrender my way of protecting me. I surrender myself to you because you're the protector, as we saw with Donald Trump. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. May many people come into your kingdom today, Lord Jesus Christ, and many more see you as the Spirit of God who is calling us into another place, another dimension of power, of attributes, of virtue. And just thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this force, which is powerful. May it be. We're just learners, Jesus. Let it be. In your mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Do your mighty work. You meet us where we are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. We went a little bit over with all the extra things. And I do want to make a quick announcement that next Sunday, we will be baptizing anyone who wants to profess that Jesus is their Lord and Savior and they've not been baptized here. If you're interested, speaking to you folks, see Ashley. And then anyone who is interested and wants to hear more about that, I will speak to you right after Fire and Wind on Tuesday night. It's a little bit late, but it won't be long. So if that is you and you are feeling, sensing, this is what I need to do because the Lord has spoken to me and it's time I've not done that, and this is what you'd like to do, then tell Ashley and then we'll see you on Tuesday. And there'll be other times if not, but that's what we're going to do next Sunday, as well as other things, commissioning the team to go to Ghana and other things as well. So God bless you all. Amen.